Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
My message today is entitled Contradictions and Challenges. Contradictions and Challenges. You're going to hear some of those contradictions that challenge us. But the key point to remember today is this: there will always be challenges to our faith. Some people are thinking there should be no challenge. If I just think it, it should happen. If I pray it, it should be done. There will be challenges to our faith. And it's always a struggle to keep the tension between holding on to our faith and ensuring that not only we grow our faith, but we don't lose our faith. There's a tension in there. You know, a tension wire pulls both ways. Losing faith pulls, growing faith pulls. It's a challenge, it's a struggle to keep the tension of the challenges that come to our faith so that we remain strong. And life, friends, is about reoccurring situations that must be handled even when they seem enormous or, in other words, overwhelming. Giant-sized problems will pop up all the time as long as we are children of God. And just after you've conquered the last thing, something else will come up. How many know what I'm talking about? And I'm preaching a message today, which is God's message to myself as well. God requires us sometimes to live it to preach it. And I love living it to preach it because I preach it better when I'm living it. There's always challenges, and when you're there, it just feels like you're the only one. Anybody out there? Now show me some hands. God, I'm the only one. Let me see the only one that's having a giant-sized problem. Well, look at you. Look, no, but put those only me. Only me. Put it up. Now look around at only you. Even a prophet cried out to God, said, I'm the only one, and God had to say, no, stop. You can't see their giant-sized problem, but they've got one too. So I love the study we're doing, the book of Ruth, with Pastor of Interest. On the 24th, she said this. I loved it. Even in what seems to be the worst of times, God is still working, and God can use our adversity to advance his divine purposes. Don't judge God's love and presence in your life based on circumstances. You remember that? If you're not in on our growth Bible study, you got to get in. It's so rich. You can jump in at any time. She said this, human adversity is God's opportunity. And I it's just so powerful. Many of you remember this line where she reminded us, and I've preached this text too, but it just stuck out to me when she said, here was Naomi wondering how she's going to make it tomorrow, and God was preparing a barley harvest when she never even understood it. And God's preparing a barley harvest, something for you that you haven't seen yet. Because the giant-sized problem is before you. But we've got to move to it. So it's hard to see the faith lesson when we're only focused on the negative issues, the problems, when we're fixated on the fearful giant thing that's troubling us. We get stuck in a negative cycle. That's why I call it a tension. Because negativity is not sinfulness. It's just you working out the tension of how do I get over this one, God? Because I thought it was going to go in this direction, and it hasn't. And so today I pray that through this message, as I use some passages to remind us, that we'll move from that negativity when we see the giant circumstance, and we'll move into a positive construct where we see how God's either going to take us over it, through it, under it, around it, or just completely out of it. But we're going to have to visualize it, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the what? Evidence of things not yet seen. Online, not yet seen. And so challenges come against our faith. And overcoming the contradictions of these realities, it requires a growth of faith. It comes against us, but that's when our faith must grow, not weaken, not diminish, not be destroyed. Many believers today, their faith is being destroyed when a giant-sized problem comes, as if nothing should ever have come. Do you realize our parents and grandparents lived with great problems? But they just knew their great God. And we have to prove that to a generation behind us, that no matter what size problem comes, the size of our God is bigger. Amen? I'm going to read a couple of passages, and I'm going to skip through some. So today, as I read some of these passages, pick your message, because there's a message in it for you. Numbers 13, verse 1 to 2, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, the Lord now said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I'm giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each tribe of the ancestral tribes. In this first part, I'm going to skip through the passages. Moses was told, send out one leader from each tribe. Do you know, sometimes when we're going to face a problem, we figure everybody should be in it. That's the biggest part of our humanity. Why am I, God, if everybody was in it, then I'd be okay. But not everyone can handle it, because he never gives us more than we can bear. So when he said, select one leader, they were choosing the one that they knew could go up and stand on their behalf. Do you realize that God has you in a position where you are placed there to be a representative of many people who are facing what you're facing? Numbers 13, verse 17 to 20. Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. Go north through the Negev into the hill country. See what the land is like. Find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. See what kind of land they live in. Is it good or bad? Do their homes have walls, or are they unprotected like open camps? Is the soil fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Do your best to bring back samples of the crops you see. And the Bible says in the verse there, it happened to be the season for harvesting the ripe grapes. I put that in brackets because everything above here is going to show us how quickly we can fall apart, not focus on the real issue. Moses says to them, go up. These are the selected ones. You have been selected by God for a divine purpose. Now you're called up to something. And so Moses sends them and he gives them instruction. He says, go this direction. See what the land is like. So if you're to underline anything, it's land. Okay? And then find out whether the people. And then he says, whether they're strong or weak. Okay? Few or many. Just put that scripture back up there for me so they could track with me. See what kind of land they live in. Is it good or bad? Do the towns have walls or unprotected? Soil fertile or poor? Are there many trees? No trees. Bring back samples. It's harvest season with ripe grapes. Now, folks, they had a job to do. Go up and report what you see from where God is sending you. Numbers 13, 25 to 28. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel in the wilderness. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. This was their report. We entered the land you sent us. It is indeed bountiful country, flowing with milk and honey, fruit produces. But the people living there are powerful. Their towns are large and fortified. We saw giants. Do you know many Christians today are falling apart? We saw a giant. How many friends do you know who've walked away from the faith because they saw a giant? I also saw a land that was bountiful. Everything else was good. But we allow one thing to bring our faith to the bottom. And overcoming the contradictions of realities, it requires that we grow our faith in the struggle. Hear me, church. Hear me online. Overcoming it means you grow your faith in the struggle. It's always a struggle to keep that balance, and yet it is a necessity as a child of God that we get stronger in difficult times, not weaker. I'm watching many believers grow weaker in difficult times, not stronger. But it is a part of God's economy that when these giant-sized things come, we look at the giant and remind the giant what? Who our God is. But if we look at the giant, all we see is a giant. We've taken our eyes from the master. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth and the giants of earth will grow strangely small. It's always a struggle, and giant situations will always come to test who we are, because if we can't handle the little giants now, how are we going to handle the end of time giants? These are little light, Corinthians calls it light and momentary trials. If we can't handle light and momentary trials, how will we handle the horsemen that are coming in the end of time? Giants. Giants were descendants of a tribe called Anak from the city of Rapha, called Raphaites. They were considered to be men of unusual size. And so they were, no matter what, they would always cause fear once you see them. And the fear they cause creates, it brings in this sense of evil. And there's sometimes the fear comes and it grips us. And it's not evil to have some fear grip you, but it's wrong to let the fear overtake you. It's okay. Fear is an emotion, and we can have it. How many of you, we all have some level of fear. Bring a spider. I'll show you. Bring me an 8-foot tall man, and I'll bring him down, but bring me a spider. It'll bring me down. Giant-sized problems will always come to test our faith. You got to remember this. It's come to test our faith. Folks, it came to test your faith. And so we're going to go through a couple of scriptures I want to walk you through. You won't see these on the screen, just the references. There is always giant-sized problems always exist. Giants always exist. In the Old Testament, Genesis 14:5, Numbers 13:28, Deuteronomy 2:20, Deuteronomy 9:2-4, Joshua 11:21. Allow me to skip through some of these passages. You could leave those up there. Giants always present themselves as unconquerable. Yes? Always presents himself. So here we are in the first passage in Genesis 14, 1 and 5. Abraham, it gets called up to a situation where Lot has been taken, and he has to go and conquer and fight them. He's not even doing it for himself. He's doing it for the next generation, Lot, that he had taken with him. And the Bible says about this time, war broke out. 5 kings against 4, and the Rephaimites were among them. When it's saying that, saying those the tribe of Anak, who are called Rapha, who are Raphaites, they were among the 5 armies fighting. And Lot was in the midst of that. And Abraham could say, I'm sorry. First of all, there's 5 armies. Second of all, there's some giants there. But instead, Abraham determined, I will not leave him there. And so he went up and stood against the 5 armies, even the ones that had giant-sized problems. Some of you have got some teenagers and young adults. There's some giant-sized problems. And it seems like the army of evil against them is consuming them. But don't forget who your God is. The same God of Abraham that caused him to rescue Lot is the same God who can show you how and when they're going to be pulled out. And it's taken a long time. This war wasn't fought in a day. You don't fight five armies in one day. You fight over seasons until you win. So in Genesis 14, 11 to 12, the victorious invaders plundered Sodom and Gomorrah and headed for home, taking with them all the spoils of war and the food supplies. They captured Lot, Abraham's nephew who lived there, carried off everything he owned, but Abraham went after them and took everything back. That's why Melchizedek had to bow, the great priest had to bow to the mighty man Abraham, saying, man, if you could go up and take all that on and take everything back, look what the Lord has done. You are blessed of God. Folks, the enemy has taken a lot in this decade, but we cannot as a church give up and say, well, we have no choice and no option. God is still in control of the giants of the land, and he will cause us to conquer. So remember this. Remember, folks, that we are in a fight, but giant problems that come to test our faith, and they're not unconquerable. So as you keep reminding yourself, remember God's promise. What is God's promise? It's to bless, not curse. So a lot of Christians living as if God is wanting to curse us. We've got to stop it, folks. God didn't create you to curse you. He created you to bless you. If God wanted just to curse you, we would all have been cursed a long time because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 2 to 3, here's what happened. Abraham took a small number of men and he fought against them. One which had giants among them, he relied on God. But here's what happened. Genesis 12, verse 2 to 3. The Lord showed up after that, says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. You will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. I want you to remember this. Write this Genesis 12 down. You are called to be blessed by God, not to be cursed by God. So we got to, as believers, stop living like we're cursed people. Oh, people don't like Christians. Yeah, they don't. And what? And so what are you saying? They didn't like Jesus, so who are you? People, my coworkers don't like me because I'm a Christian. I'm going to challenge that. Two things, contradictions, as I said. Contradictions that come to tensions. Yes, they don't like you because you're a Christian. But number two, are you living like a Christian among them so they fear you? I am not a hero. I'm not super wonderful. I've shared all my faults to you. You know them all. But I'll tell you this. When I worked at Air Canada, the one thing I didn't compromise on was my faith. And they, to this day, can tell you they cannot believe how I stood against opposition. But I held my head high, and I kept on praying for people. When I worked at Air Canada Marketing Strategy, it was a cutthroat type of place. But I never cut anyone's throat. I got on my knees and asked God to advance me till they didn't know what to do. They'd ask me. I've told you this before. I won awards with them, and they'd come to me and say, how did you get? Because when you got great programs, then you'd get an award if the program passed. Like, how come you get all these programs? Who are you sleeping with? I always had an answer. I know who I sleep with. I sleep with Jesus. Somebody would be like, I can't believe they asked me that. I'm so insulted. Tell them who you sleep with, and then they will know who you sleep with. And they can go sleep with him too, because I go to bed with at peace in my heart. And in the night season, he speaks to me and gives me vision and wisdom and plans. If you're living your life like you should as a Christian, Yes, they will insult you and persecute you, but the reason I told you that story is all of the years of my life, even to this day, I am still the one they call on to come and do funeral, come and do baptism, come and do this, come and pray for me. I'm getting a divorce. My kids are on drugs. Why? Because I never compromised, even though I was strong in business. If you want to be... Actually, I'm going to have to show you a baptism service I did this summer. Incredible. I'll show it to you at maybe the next baptism. Powerful what God is doing. But if we're just going to cower and go, they hate me. I'm blessed of God. I'm not cursed. And if they hate you, it's because something good's in you. If they love you, there's too much devil in you. Forgive me, Lord. Got to be a little bit of tension. No, but real, be real, folks. There's a tension in Christianity. And if you don't have any tension in yours, then I'm going to say something is wrong. It's not pulling well to the proper side. Because there's always this flux of, God, what are we going to do? How are we going to make it? Rise up and know greater fights are coming yet. So you better kill these giants now because bigger ones are yet to come. But when those come, remember this. Remember, God will deliver you. Remember, God will deliver you. The Bible tells us that Moses, this is later on, Deuteronomy 2, 13 to 15, 20 to 25. Moses continued, and this is now later on. He says, the Lord said to us, get moving, cross the Zered Brook. So they cross. 38 years passed from the time we left Kadesh until we finished and crossed the Zered Brook. All the men old enough to fight in battle had died in the wilderness as the Lord had vowed would happen. The Lord struck them down until they had been eliminated from the community. That area was once considered the land of the Rephaites who had lived there. Now, and it continues on. They were strong and numerous and tall as the Anakites. And verse 24, Moses continued, the Lord said, get moving, cross the gorge, the Ammon gorge. Look, I'm handing over to you the Amorite, and I'll give you this land. Attack them and begin to occupy. Begin this day. When they hear reports about you, they will tremble with dread and fear. You can read that one later. You know what? This is now 38 years later, they come to another land of giants. But God had wiped out all the people who allowed the giants to kill them in their faith. Did you hear it? Now he says, those of you that are left because you held on in faith, this is a land of more giants, but we're going to conquer them. There's a lot more things coming, folks, that we're going to have to get ready to conquer. And the Bible says that they conquered and the people became terrified of them. When they hear reports about you, they will tremble and dread with fear. Folks, that's what the world should be doing. Not beating us up, not making us feel like we are the leftover, we're left behind, we're ignorant, we're foolish, we're this, and all kinds of labels put on the church. The labels will stay on the church until you stand up and declare, in Jesus' name, not so. Somebody missed that point. We've got to be able to stand out in our faith. And yes, they must fear us. What is it that made the church strong in the decades past? People feared the people of God. Who do people fear now? We fear anyone militant, but never anyone who is powerful in God. Because we have lost our fight in faith. And I'm believing God's going to restore it because a generation has to know we're not going down like this. We are going to know who we are in Christ and God and fight the giants as they come one after the other. So my next point as I move on quickly today is remember God knows what's ahead of you. God knows what's ahead of you. Moses in Deuteronomy 9, verse 1 to 4, God describes the giants and says to him, "Giants are there, Moses, but I'll go ahead of you. You will see victory." And it says this, let me read it. Deuteronomy 9, 1 to 4. "Listen, O Israel, today you're about to cross the Jordan to take over the land belonging to the nations much greater and more powerful than you. They live in cities with walls and reach to the sky. They're strong and tall, descendants of the famous Anakites, Anakite giants. You've heard the saying, 'Who can stand up to the Anakites?' But recognize today that the Lord your God is the one who will cross over ahead of you like a devouring fire to destroy them. He will subdue them so that you will quickly conquer them and drive them out, just as the Lord has promised. And after the Lord your God has done this for you, don't say in your hearts, 'The Lord has given us this land because we're such good people.' No, it's because of the wickedness of the other nations he's pushing them out of your way." Folks, God is already ahead of us. And he knows the wickedness that is going to come against our nation, our land, our people, people against people. He's already ahead of us. But he's saying to us, get ready to still cross over into that atmosphere and land of faith, because I am with you. I have already gone ahead of you, and I'm preparing a way, for my church shall never die. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So get ready yourself to cross over. And so as you do that, remember, God has special provisions awaiting you. Joshua 11. Now Moses was the one that brought them right to it the second time. But Joshua, who was with Caleb, is the one that took them over. Folks, if you have faith, you're going to get over there. And doesn't mean your faith won't be challenged. And that's all I'm trying to tell you today. He says, Joshua, go and fear not. Joshua 11, 16 to 21, go and fear not. Why is God telling him don't fear? Because things will bring fear in our hearts at all times. But he's saying, even though you have fear, rise up in faith. Get the tension tightened on faith and loosen it on fear. Joshua, Bible says, after Joshua conquered the region, that's the same passage on the screen, the entire Negev region around the Goshen, the western foothills, Israelite territory now extended all the way, and it lists all as far as it went. And it says, all the others were defeated, for the Lord had hardened their hearts, caused them to fight the Israelite, so they were completely destroyed without mercy, as the Lord commanded Moses. During this period, Joshua destroyed all the descendants of Anak who lived in the hill country of Hebron, Debir, Anak, the hill country of Judah, Israel. They killed them all completely, destroyed their towns. None of the Anakites were left in the land of Israel. And it continues on, and Joshua continued to control the land as Moses instructed him. Here's why this is important. I'm preaching a lot of message in this. That's why I made this one part one. I'm going to have to bring a part two. Here's the thing. Moses didn't get to cross over because the people with him, 10 out of 12, said, "We have the land is good, soil is good, fruit is good, walls are good. Everything's good, but I see a giant, and I don't think that we can fight a giant." Joshua and Caleb said, "Everything's good, and there are some giants. We're going to have to tighten the tension wire." You men know what I'm talking about with the tension wire. If it's loose, you're not going to get anything out of it. Tighten the tension wire on faith. Because we're going to have to climb over, get over this. Joshua and Caleb both went forward. And Moses had instructed them, we are the generation that's going to instruct the next generation with our lifestyle, how we live it out in faith. I'm going to preach this a lot of messages, because this is where the rubber is hitting the road. We became a generation that feared the Anakites. Fear giants. The reason any of us who still know how to fight a giant knows how to fight a giant is because of the old folks we grew up with that were giant fighters. They might not have had, we have people now have more degrees than a thermometer. But no fight in them for God. That generation, many of them had no education, but they knew how to read the word, and they know how to put their foot on the word and break the necks of some giants. We are the Moses generation. They're going to have to get a Joshua generation to get ready, because it's Joshua's generation that has to fight these giants. I can't keep up. The minute I learn something, the next thing has come. I can't keep up. Remember the other day we learned, you know, there was slain, and now there's, and by tomorrow that one, it's another one. By the time I do this, they're like, no, Pastor, that's out, right? This is out now. Something else is in. It's not the older generation that's going to fight the giants coming, but we have to put the fight into the next generation because of how we live it out in faith and say, I shall not be moved because God is with me. So, it means now I need to develop a new mindset. It's got to be a mindset of faith. In Joshua 11, the same people who were terrified by the size of giants, they got wiped out, but the two who stood now pleaded with God. And so here we see in Joshua 11 and Joshua 13, Joshua didn't cower. Caleb didn't cower. And we need to know God's power firsthand, church. The first giant-sized problem we see, or the multiple giant-sized problems we see, cannot level us. We've got to believe. Here's what I want us to do. We've got to believe together. You know, sometimes my faith might be weak, but if yours is strong, you lift me up. Sometime when your giant comes, your faith might be weak, but I'm praying through. And you feel the fire coming at you, and you feel lifted again. It's a together thing. It's not, well, a great message, Pastor, but you know, I'm different. Well, what, do you have 6 fingers and 10 toes? Because as long as you're human, flesh made like us, as long as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're here to do this together. Online, you too, you should be praying for us in-house as we pray for you online. You don't just get to sit online and go, oh, I don't come to church. Or thank God for those that are in different countries. Many of you, we bless you wherever you are today, down in the U.S. and down in Trinidad and different islands. And many are now streaming in with us. And we bless you today. But you get a responsibility to pray our faith strong as we send the word of prayer to you and believe that God will keep you strong wherever you are. Folks, we got to get back to doing this together. We stopped helping each other. Oh, she got a big problem. Oh, so too bad, so sad. No, I should feel it for her. I got to move with it. Doesn't mean that I'm going to have... When you empathize with someone, you're in the journey with them, but you're not. It's still not your fight. It's theirs, but you're lifting them up in the fight. Problem is sometimes we take the fight on as our own and the devil beats us up and then we wonder why we're beaten up. Well, it was none of your business to get to take the whole fight on. You were supposed to come and support, not take over. Do I have enough time? I do. This one's really good. I have to pause, tell you. So you know my very calm and quiet disposition since I was a child. You remember, those of you young people, go and Google this. Back in the day, we had one television, and there was one remote, and the brother always tried to dominate it, and so there was always fights over who could turn the TV. I mean, anybody, come on, wave to me. All right. So we had a big fight. I got to hurry. We had a big fight. There was a fight between my brother and my sister over the remote. Now, that my brother's beating up my sister, he's winning. So I'm in. Because they know once I'm in, fight's over. So I jumped in and I took over the fight. But we broke my parents' coffee table. So when they came home that night, my mom screaming at her glass table shattered, and My dad's going, what happened? 3 kids. Nobody knew what happened. And he says, okay, nobody knew what happened. So this is how we're going to do it. We're going to do it all over. Start from the beginning. We're like, what? He says, start the fight from the beginning. He says, I want every step so I can see where I'm going with this. So same thing, my brother sat down with the thing. My sister asked for it. He said no. She grabbed it. He hit her. I jumped in. And my guy goes, okay, you're the problem. Sometimes we get into people's fights and you get a whooping because it wouldn't have ended up that way if you weren't the bully in it. Anybody tracking with me online? Can I get an amen online? We get to know God's power firsthand when our first giant-sized problem is destroyed, but it's destroyed because we believe it. Not because we just say, oh, it's like we're waiting for a genie out of a bottle. Bible says in James 1, verse 2 to 4, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Believers, we're going to have to develop the type of faith that keeps growing. Not, oh, I started serving Jesus 20 years ago and I have faith. No, every day my faith is challenged. I'm your pastor and my faith is challenged every day. And I have to grow it, grow it, grow it, grow it, so that I can remain strong and fervent and keep the tension tight so that I can pull the enemy down and he does not pull me down. So here's the thing, folks. Joshua had to go in and take it. And to the Joshua generation, in-house and online, get ready to take down the giants. We're behind you. But don't sit down and go, there's giants. Because there's a generation behind you. They're falling apart even more. All now needing psychological assessment and help because you are not standing up to the giants of this day. But God is calling each one of us to take whatever situation we have. Remember, God is going to bless us through it, not curse us in it. And my last point is this. People of faith must keep growing faith. In Joshua 4, verse 6 to 12, Caleb shows up, and I'm just going to read 2 verses out of it in the middle of this passage of Caleb in Joshua 14, verse 6 to 12. He says, now as you see, the Lord has kept me alive and well as he promised for these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while I was wandering in the wilderness. And verse 11 says, so give me the hill country that the Lord promised. You will remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there, great walled towns. I love this verse, and I'll put it up for the next part. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said. But if the Lord is with me, but if the Lord is with, say it to yourself. Oh, you said it to me. I already know God is with me. Say it to yourself. But if the Lord is with me, isn't he with you? So Joshua, 45 years later, he says, listen now, 10 people pulled me down because I was ready to fight them giants when I was young and fresh. Now I'm old and tired, but I'm still in the fight. I want the next generation to come with me. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, giants' problems, giant-sized issues will always present themselves as unconquerable. But nothing is unconquerable when God has promised otherwise. Giant-sized issues will always present themselves as unconquerable. But nothing is unconquerable when God has promised otherwise. Bow your heads with me. Father, giant-sized problems are going to keep coming. But you promise to bless us, not curse us. You promise you will deliver us. You know what's ahead of us. You have made special provisions for us. So help us today, together, to develop a new mindset. One that says, with God, I can do all things because you strengthen me. Father, I pray for every person in this place. This is for some that are in the tension where they're losing the tension of faith, and fear is great, growing stronger in the tension line. But I pray today that, God, they will rip it apart and whip it to the other side. Whatever the situation, it cannot be unconquerable because you're in it. God, we don't know the way through, over, under, around, but we know you are with us because you're ahead of us. You already knew this was coming. And you will still, God, in the midst of it all, as you did for Moses, you had Joshua who went in and conquered not just one set of giants, but all of them. And so help us, Lord, to recognize who we are in Christ and God.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.